Hi, this is Sid, and today's cut is for my album AKA Sid Lieberman, which was recorded live at the 2004 National Storytelling Festival. Learn more at my website, sidlieberman.com.
There are days in the fall when there's something in the air, and it just means football to me. It conjures up a time over 40 years ago, one of the most important times in my life when I played high school football for the Roosevelt Rough Riders. And this is a story about that time. It's called The Englewood Game. On a cold November morning in 1961, I got up, I ate breakfast, I went into the bathroom, and I threw up. I hadn't slept much the night before either, but it didn't matter. I was going to be running on adrenaline all day. That afternoon, I was going to play my last game after 3 years on the varsity at Roosevelt High School. It was a game for the championship of the city of Chicago, and it was my third and last time to try and win it. The game was being played on a Friday, and so I spent most of that school day in my pre-game fugue state. The gears had slipped, and nothing was registering. My teachers were kind to me. They left me alone. Friends wished me luck and moved on. Everyone knew how important the game was. This was 1961, and school spirit wasn't corny yet. Earlier in the week, we had a pep rally. Jammed auditorium, and we stood in the back in our gold jerseys waiting for our names to be called so we could rush down the aisle to cheers and applause. After the rally, the principal led us out of the building so we could form a conga line and dance around the school. It was a neighborhood school, and so the team reflected that. It was predominantly Jewish, and so we started 9 Jewish guys all about my size, with names like Toppel and Zussel and Rubin and Schwartz and Lieberman. We sounded like a law firm. We had one Polish end, a little bit taller than us, and a big German quarterback who towered over everybody. In games, sometimes we got racial slurs. One time, the Polish end came back to the huddle. He was so angry. I said, "Johnny, what is it?" He said, "I'm going to kill the guy over me. He just called me a big-nosed Jew." It seemed I was destined to play football for Roosevelt High School. When I was a kid, I loved to run. Heaven for me was tag at recess because I was fast and I was shifty. I liked making people miss. After school, we played sports all year round, but we didn't need adults to organize our games. We had pickup softball games in the spring and summer. We ran our own summer-long pinners tournament in an alley behind my house, complete with a World Series. But I loved the touch football games the best in the fall and the winter. You played them in the streets. 3 passes completed, a first down. The touchdown was at the end of the block. You'd get in your huddle, and the quarterback would look out. But he wouldn't be looking at the defense. He'd be looking at the cars. Because that's how you call the plays. "Bernie, go down to the red Ford and stop. Jackie, there's a blue Chevy there on the right. Cut behind it. Sit all the way out to that black Buick." Football ran in my family. My father loved it. I had 2 older brothers. My oldest brother played, but he wasn't very good. He was really big. They called him the Rock, and they put him in on goal line stands. But my other brother was great. And when I was in 6th grade, he was a junior on the varsity, a starting tackle. One time, we played tackle, and everybody was scrounging for equipment, but I didn't. I wore my brother's equipment. I put on his helmet, which was way too big for me, so every time I was tackled, it would turn sideways. And shoulder pads that came down to my elbows and weighed a ton. But I didn't care. It was my brother's equipment. I saw every one of his games. They were played on Thursdays and Fridays, but my father used to take me out of school. He'd meet me in the office, we'd drive to the game, have a hot dog together, and then we'd go in and watch my brother. Now, Roosevelt had never been a very good football team, and that junior year, they were positively awful. In one of the preseason games, they went to St. Joe, Michigan. Now, my whole family, extended family at that time, lived in Benton Harbor, and so everyone came to the game. They lost 49-0. Sometime in the second half, my grandfather started to yell, "Bagels! Bagels! They're no good because they eat too many bagels!" But it wasn't bagels, it was the coach. His senior year, they had a new coach, Coach Klein. He had actually gone to Roosevelt High School, and he'd been coaching on the south side of Chicago. He had a winning record. He had turned a number of schools around, and he came to Roosevelt filled with energy, excitement, and he also knew football. And my brother's senior year, he turned that team around. With the same guys, they almost won the Northside Division. They lost their final game when they fumbled on their opponent's 3-yard line with less than a minute to go. I started on the varsity when I was a sophomore. By the time I was out of grammar school, I knew all of Roosevelt's plays. I'd gone to so many practices. I could get into the proper stance. And my brother coached me when I was a freshman. I scored in the first game of the season, my first game. Toward the end of the game, we were so far ahead, he put me in on defense, and I intercepted a pass and ran for a 35-yard touchdown. I'd like to say I picked that pass off, but really the quarterback threw it right at me. I was more surprised than anybody. And all I did was just start running as fast as I could. When I reached the end zone, my teammates were slapping me on the back, and I remember looking in the stands, and I found my brother and my father, and they were beaming at me. In the next day, in the papers, they said Lieberman scampered into the end zone. That's the verb they used because of my size. Any long run, I scampered. If it was a short run, I bolted. I felt like a cross between a squirrel and a Mustang. It is not easy playing football when you're 5'6½". One time on defense, I was guarding an end, and he was listed as 6'3", but he looked a lot taller. On one play, he ran out, and he ran right into me. We both fell on the ground. He got up, and he looked at me, and he said, "Where did you come from?" I learned a lot of football that year. I also learned what it was like to lose. My school had lost to their arch rival, Sullivan, 7-6 the year before. And all year, that's all the seniors talked about. Sullivan, Sullivan, we have to beat Sullivan. We were beating them 6-0 with about 3 minutes to go when they scored and they made the extra point. They were beating us again, 7-6. I was in the huddle on offense right at the end of the game. And seniors, and these are guys I idolized, these were tough football players, they were crying in the huddle. The game wasn't even over. And our coach was just standing on the sideline, just staring into space. Now, I was dressed and out of that locker room and going home, and the captain of our team was still sprawled on that locker room floor, covered with mud, sobbing. Well, I knew I was going to think about Sullivan all year. Now, we weren't a great team that year. We lost another game, but we somehow made it to the city championship. And I was going to have to start. The regular halfback had broken his collarbone in the semifinal win. Well, until that time, I was a wunderkind, a sophomore in the varsity. But that week, Klein was all over me. Everything I did was wrong. And I got so angry at one point when he yelled at me. I took my helmet off and I whipped it and it hit the ground. He was walking away from me at the time. And when that helmet hit the ground, he spun around and he pointed at me and he said, "Lieberman, if you didn't have it in you, would I bother?" I was stunned. He was seeing something in me that I didn't know was there. I wanted to repay him for that faith, but I didn't have it in me for that championship game. None of us did. We practiced until it was dark, and then we would go into the school and practice in the gym, but we lost 33-13. They were just better than we were. But it whetted our appetite, and we got back to the title game my junior year. That year, we crushed Sullivan, 34-0. Yeah. Yeah. But it was a bittersweet victory for me. I ripped ligaments in my ankle. I missed 4 weeks of the season. I never got my speed back. It wasn't until the semifinal win that I finally broke away and scored a long touchdown. Now, going into that title game junior year, we were 7-0-1. At that time, there were no overtimes, and so you could tie. We were much better than the team we were going to play. We knew that going in, and we pushed them all over the field. We doubled their yardage, but late in the third quarter, we were on our own 12-yard line and had to punt, and as a bad snap from center, the other team recovered and scored. They tied us 7-7. We got close a couple of times, but didn't score. The game ended 7-7. They actually carried their coach off. We walked off in silence because that tie was tantamount to losing. And now we were going back for my third and last try. All year we dominated the teams we played, 35-0, 42-0, 40-6. And I finally had the year that Klein had seen I could have and that I always hoped for. I led the division in scoring. 1 week, I was named the prep back of the week in the city of Chicago. I also threw my first touchdown pass. Now, I have to explain that for people who don't know football. The quarterback's job, that's his job to pass. I was a halfback. My job was to run. But we put a play in for one game where I would run around the end, stop, and throw a pass down the field. I hadn't done that in 3 years. It was a complete surprise, and we caught them completely by surprise. I was going around the end, and I stopped, and I looked, and our end, he was 15 yards behind anyone. And I took that ball, and I threw it, and it went straight up in the air. It was like a punt. He stopped. He came running all the way back in. He made this amazing catch. In all this traffic, he broke three tackles, and he ran for a 45-yard touchdown. I ran after him. I cheered all the way. And the next week in practice, Klein said, "Lieberman never throws again." Well, as we were winning, there was a team on the south side that was also winning like that. 35-0, 48-0, Englewood. And somewhere in the course of the year, they began to link us, Englewood and Roosevelt, win again. Now, during the year, we would scout the teams we were going to play. We would go to their games. And about the middle of the year, we began to see the Englewood players at the games, too. We would nod at one another. It was kind of like a gunfighter's nod. It was respectful. It was saying, "We'll be seeing you." Toward the end of the year, we scouted them in a game they won 47-0, and we knew why they were undefeated. They were big, and they were fast, and they were disciplined. When we went into that title game, we were both 7-0. We had scored 28.3 points per game. They had scored 29.5. We had allowed 3.8 points per game. They had allowed 3.25. Most of their linemen were over 6 feet tall, and they outweighed our line by 15 pounds a man. But we were starting 11 seniors. We hadn't lost a game in 2 years, and there was one piece of the puzzle left to win that championship. And for me, that meant for Klein and for the school and for my father and for my brother. We boarded the bus to the game in the back of the school. It was by what we called a campus. It was really 3 blocks of gravel. We practiced there because the nearest park was about 8 blocks away. Now, when you run on gravel with cleats, you chew it up. It becomes dirt. But nobody knew that except us. And senior year, there was an article in the Chicago Sun-Times 1 week, and it said, "Roosevelt tough enough to play on gravel." I always wondered what our opponents thought. The ride there was kind of subdued. I think everyone was thinking about the game to come. And it was different. This was Soldier Field. The Bears play there now. It's the premier stadium in Chicago. We usually played in 3 rinky-dink stadiums around the city. And we never took a bus there. We used to take our cars. Same drivers, same seats you sat in, same locker room, same lousy jokes. When you win, you become superstitious. Before our first game of the season, I found a penny and we won. I became the repository for lucky pennies. By the last game, I carried 17 into the game, and I jingled when I ran. The game started well. Our first offensive play was a dive. I was carrying the ball straight into the line, following my blockers, and we gained 8 yards. And when we came back to the huddle, the tackle in front of me, the guy blocking, Zusel, said to me, "It's going to be a good day." But it didn't pan out that way in the first half. They scored first. A bad punt gave them the ball deep in our territory. And they threw a pass for a touchdown. It got called back, a reprieve. On the very next play, they threw another pass and another touchdown. The end made a circus catch in the end zone. But worse than that, the defensive backfield gathered together. We were supposed to be defending him, and none of us even knew where he came from. That hadn't happened in 3 years. I usually never notice a crowd during a game, except for a huge roar when we would score. But as I stood there waiting for that kickoff, I watched their stands, and they were all just waving these purple and white streamers, and they were laughing and jumping around. And I thought, you know, they have every reason to feel good, because that score was way too easy. They completely stymied our offense in the first half, and we were lucky to go into half only losing 6-0. We had stopped their extra point. Now, Klein gave pep talks at the beginning of a game, rarely at halftime. He sometimes would yell at half about what we were doing. But we would go over what we had done wrong and what we could do in the second half. And we did that. And before we went out, all he said to us was, "I don't have to remind the seniors what these last two quarters mean." And he didn't. We got that opening kickoff, and we drove 78 yards for a touchdown. Nothing fancy, straight ahead running. 2 yards, 3 yards, 5 yards, first down. 4 yards, 6 yards, first down. We rammed it down their throat. It was all desire. I carried for 45 of those 78 yards and bolted in from the three. Now, I know my verbs. I taught English. In those days, you either kicked it, ran it, or passed it. It was all worth 1 point, and we didn't have a good kicker, and I got the call again, and I made the extra point. We were up 7-6. When we made that point, I remember looking at their players, and I could see the same bewilderment and dejection in their faces that I had felt in that first half. No one had ever run over them before. We scored a second time at the start of the fourth quarter, a 60-yard drive, same way. It was first and goal on the one. We got stopped twice. On third down, I got the call and scored again. We are now up 13-6. The extra point was crucial. If we made it, we'd be up 8 points. They need 2 scores to win. Now, I was not carrying on the extra point. I was supposed to block for the right halfback and open a hole, and I hit that end as hard as I could. I drove him off the line, and I fell on the ground, and I looked up, and there was the ball bouncing in front of me. Now, I'm sure it was a fraction of a second, but I remember thinking, why is the ball on the ground? How come I'm the only one who sees it? And then my mind clicked, and it was fumble. He fumbled, and I leaped on that ball, and a pile of guys hit me. I hung on to that ball for dear life as they were unpiling. I wanted everyone to know that we had made the point. And I remember I couldn't even wait for the refs to unpile. I just pushed the last two guys off and I shoved the ball into the ref's face. He was very surprised and he said, "Yes." We're up 14-6, but they were not undefeated for no reason. They only took 2 minutes to score. The big play was a 33-yard run. I missed a tackle on that run and watched our starting defensive halfback, one of my good friends, and our punter get knocked out of the game. They made the point. It was 14-13. On the very next series, I carried on first down and was hit so hard, I was actually knocked out. I actually lost consciousness for a couple seconds. When I came to, I thought my shoulder was broken. Now, my coach had come out during the injury timeout, and we were walking off, and you know, I knew how he felt. And I said, "Well, you know, coach, I'm feeling fine." I wasn't going to tell him about that shoulder. But he said what I didn't want him to say. He said, you're done for the day, Sid. And I thought, no, I can't end it this way. I can't end this game on the bench. I said, "No, coach, really, I'm fine." He said, "I can't let you go back in." I panicked. And then I saw my father on the sidelines. He had come out of the stands to see if I was okay. Well, I knew he was as crazy about football as I was. And he probably cared about winning even more. I said, "Ask my father." My father said, "Well, you know, if he thinks he's okay and he wants to play." Before a client could say anything, I put my helmet on, I ran right back in. I said, I am going to play as long as I can run. I'll stand the pain. Now, through that fourth quarter, neither team could sustain a drive. And it was late in the fourth quarter when suddenly we had to punt from our own 15-yard line. It was on the north side of the stadium, near the right hash mark. It was 3 yards away from where we had tried to punt the year before and had fumbled that snap from center, and the other team had scored. And not only that, our punter was out of the game, and Johnny Pekila, our substitute punter, had never punted in a game before. I stood there on the sidelines. I wasn't on the kicking team. And I thought, it's going to happen again. We're going to lose. It was all going down the drain. It was like being in a nightmare. And I couldn't wake up. They came out of their huddle, and Pekila rubbed his hands on his thighs. He looked over the defense. He started to bark out the calls. And then the snap came, and he caught it. And then he kicked it. It was a line drive. A beautiful spiral line drive that seemed as if the winds of the gods were pushing it. It just kept going and going right over the heads of their return men. I was so amazed, I couldn't even cheer. I just stood there, and then it bounced and bounced and bounced. It was a 55-yard punt. They took over on their 30-yard line, and they never came close again. At the end, they were throwing long passes. We were knocking them down. With about 15 seconds to go, we tackled their quarterback in the backfield. They had no timeouts. We knew they couldn't get off another play. I grabbed my buddy, and we began to hug and count off those last seconds. After that, everything's a blur. I threw my helmet in the air, never saw it again. I remember kissing and hugging my father and my brother. I was kissing and hugging everybody. Now, we won 14-13, and I scored all the points. The next day in the Tribune, the title read, Tiny Lieberman Proves Giant. And in the Sun-Times, over the box score, El Cid. Now, I know it was a team victory. After we won the game, their coach came into our locker room, and he was so gracious. He said to us, you know, I still think we have the better team. But when you come to play Roosevelt, when they come to win, you can't beat them. And we had come to win. We were 11 seniors, and we weren't going to lose that game. I wasn't the only one playing hurt. We had one ball player who had to be taken to the hospital after the game. He was playing with pneumonia. But I'd be lying if I didn't say, it felt good to see those headlines. The next day, as beat up as I was, and I was in pain, I threw my football jacket over my shoulders. I joined a few of my buddies, and we went back to Soldier Field. There was another championship game being played, a different division in the city. We didn't care who won that game. We just wanted to be seen. We walked through those stands. A lot of people nodded at us, and some said, good game. We sat down and smiled at one another. We had done it. We were the Roosevelt Rough Riders, undefeated city champs.
I hope you enjoyed listening. This story is distributed under a Creative Commons license, which requires attribution for all reproduction and prohibits commercial use. Find out more about me at my website, sidlieberman.com. That's SYDLIEBERMAN.com.